name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, the sacrament of matrimony was divinely instituted by Christ. Through the graces imparted, it enables a husband and wife to live up to the responsibilities of the married life by mutually assisting each other in their sanctification so they can thereby attain heaven and also lead their children there. In addition to receiving an increase of sanctifying grace, husband and wife receive the special help of God to love one another faithfully, to bear with each other's faults, and to bring up their children properly. Sad to say, people seem to spend more time researching and evaluating what kind and type of electronics to buy than they do with regard to a future marriage partner. There are many red flags which stand as a warning of things which can cause maladjustments and unhappiness in marriage. It'd be beneficial for those who are contemplating marriage to heed these warnings. First of all, selfishness. Selfishness is a leading cause of problems in a relationship. When you begin to care more about yourself than you do about the person you love, there's a problem. Relationships, no matter of what kind, aren't about getting your own way. They're about teamwork, and sometimes they involve compromise, giving up your own way or what you want for the sake of the other. They're really about caring first for the one you love. My dearly beloved in Christ, the chief cause of unhappiness and marital breakup is selfishness, which really is a disguised form of childishness. Sometimes marriage problems are not truly marriage problems. The fault often lies with the individual who puts him or herself first, before God, before their spouse, and their children. The selfishness is most evident in the husband who wants to achieve his own satisfaction and his own happiness first, or the woman who puts her own happiness or her own fulfillment before that of her husband and her children. Only God can correctly teach us and demand sublimation of ourselves and of our individual lives in the interest of that deeper and wider life that you have in common in marriage. Only God can instruct us, and only Jesus Christ and His Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph can give us the example of how we should work this out in our daily lives. Selfishness can be converted to unselfishness if we focus our attention upon God, our Creator, and upon the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and firmly resolve to keep God's laws and follow the example of the Holy Family. If married couples work toward this beautiful unselfishness, in which they think not first of themselves, but rather of God, their spouse, and their children, they will not only be sanctified, but will find the greatest measure of happiness that may be allotted to a person in this vale of tears. It's a great irony that unselfishness leads to a greater degree of happiness than selfishness. The secular world views things differently. The more we pursue our own gratification, says the world, the happier we will be. Just the reverse is true. The more we seek our own gratification at the expense of others, the unhappier we become. My dearly beloved in Christ, ideally one should marry a partner who has common interests and is similar in a variety of ways: religion, custom, habits, ideals, education, hobbies, etc. These factors affect personality, outlook on life, and the attitude with which one approaches any problem. If lacking, they can become a serious cause of maladjustment in marriage. In the forefront, personal factors are very important. These include personality, character, and moral behavior. Some people have an even temperament and kindly disposition. Such an individual is preferable as a life partner to one who has a vacillating temperament or a difficult disposition. An individual who's steady and reliable is normally easier to get along with than one who's impulsive, unstable, and oversensitive. Do not think you can change a person's basic personality once you're married. It won't happen. If there are things you do not like while courting, ask yourself if you enjoy living with those things for a lifetime. An honest answer would most likely be no. Further, in the close and personal association of married life, character and moral standards are extremely important. A virtuous person with high moral standards normally makes a good marriage partner. The primary virtue for a happy marriage is unselfishness. It paves the way during conflicts for peaceful adjustment. Much the same is true of kindness, patience, humility, and consideration. If your proposed spouse has certain vices or evil habits, these have the opposite effect. Addiction to drugs, alcohol, gambling, computer games, pornography, etc., in a spouse is a constant and serious threat to marital peace and the safety of the family. Another destructive force in a marriage is that of infidelity, which does irreparable harm to the sacred trust between a husband and a wife. In addition, jealousy, hatred, pride, impatience, and irritability make harmonious adjustment impossible. If any of these evidence themselves before marriage, the prudent person will steer far from the others. If not, then be prepared for an unhappy marriage. Economic factors can also cause great disruption in a marriage. A person who displays mismanagement of their income, foolish spending, or overspending during courtship years, you can be assured that this will only increase after marriage. An abundance of credit cards is most likely a warning of this. A man who overspends on his toys, or a woman who racks up unpaid balances on credit cards when shopping for clothes and other things, will be in for a troubled and stress-filled marriage. In addition, persons who display pride, stubbornness, uncompromising attitudes, and selfishness will only contribute to a disturbing situation. A person who is neurotic may frequently display an irritable, quarrelsome, and antagonistic disposition, leaving the spouse to walk on eggshells in order to avoid eruptions. My dearly beloved in Christ, if a person falls under any of these descriptions before marriage, such a person should not be considered, for they would hardly make an ideal spouse. It's better to be alone than to be with the bad companion. Mixed religion is almost always a point of division in marriage and in the raising and moral education of the children. So this is such a critical point that St. Ambrose said, where there's discord in religion, how can there be accord in charity? And looking for an ideal spouse, another important point to bring up is the too frequent statement given by married spouses when they say their spouse, once married, changed so much from courtship days. It isn't so much that they changed, but that any major stress or adversity did not exist at the time of courtship. Thus, the true and deep character of the spouse did not surface. A person's true character is shown in adversity, not in pleasant times. The state of marriage will have many of its own adversities, just as will any state in life. Before marriage, boyfriend and girlfriend usually do everything they can to impress and please the other. After marriage, many couples cease to put their spouse first after God. They just stop trying. It'd be good when courting to encounter difficult and troublesome situations in order to observe how your prospective spouse acts in such a situation. What happens when things do not go his or her way? When plans are disrupted or have to be put on hold? When money is tight? When children are noisy and around him or her? When prospective in-laws differ in opinion? When caught in traffic? When one or the others is late for a date? When one or the others had a bad day at work, etc.? Even though a major adversity does not arise, look for little signs as to what may agitate the other person or cause him or her to lose their temper, pout, or separate him or herself from the problem in effect by running away from it. All of these are indications of what will incur after marriage. Finally, mannerisms, personal habits, and peculiarities of the person one is looking to marry should be considered. During the courtship period, many of these things are overlooked because of the romance of the moment. Some married couples seem to have the grace and patience to put up with and adjust to the great crosses and vexations of married life. But many marriages fail because a couple cannot deal with the little daily annoyances that crop up when two people live as closely as husband and wife. They're called tremendous trifles. Of these things, often these things are unconscious manners of habit, and if not dealt with in a loving way, they can lead to gripes, nagging, sarcasm, bitterness, and disputes. Once again, much depends on the personality, character, and virtue of each spouse. If such things are bothersome before marriage, don't expect them to be less so after. The opposite will occur. In closing, these considerations regarding the qualifications of a potential spouse show how very important the period of company keeping in courtship is. The choice of a spouse is a decision that is binding for life and should be considered in that light. I know we had a marriage instructions recently, and I showed a picture of this couple. I went to visit on sick calls. He was almost 101, and then she died like at 98. They were married 72 years. So we started the marriage instructions with that. Okay, that's what we're talking about, marriage. And they still liked each other. They really were very good to each other. Just as all important actions need God's assistance through prayer, it's critical that he be involved in guiding this choice. Just like any important decision in life, when we write down the pros and cons and thoroughly evaluate them, we should do the same in regard to marriage and choosing our potential spouse. It's one of the most important decisions in our life, because unlike choosing other things such as a job, purchase of a home, a car, fashion, electronics, etc., which come and go, God determined that marriage lasts for a lifetime. Many people seek the blessing of society, family, and friends, but the most important blessing we should seek is from God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.